Hello, Bethel Pass number 2 is underway, and this is one of your co-hosts, Pastor Dave Young, along with
Brian Jaster.
Brian, the Jaster of Disaster, and
the Pastor of Disaster,
and I'm the Pastor of Disaster, and we are excited to get this going today and get this going in earnest with our first Bethel cast, where we'll be doing interviews. And we figured the best way to start, Brian, was to interview each other.
Right?
Yeah. Don't you think? And so we're going to interview each other, and we're going to share a little bit about what will be at the heart of all the interviews that we do with the people of Bethel. And other people, we might not be people from Bethel, Brian. We may bring in people off the street that we think are cool. You know, who knows?
Absolutely.
Maybe the people who are working on our cars right now. Both of our cars are in the shop right now, about 200, 300 yards away from us down at Ump's Garage. Shout out to Ump's if you want to sponsor the podcast. You guys can do that.
First corporate sponsor.
For a corporate sponsorship. First corporate sponsorship, Ump's Garage. But we give thanks for them. So our cars are there. Our internet's down, Brian. And so we have nothing else to do but do this podcast, and so we're excited to do that. Life is good. First of all, Brian, Caitlin's doing better. His daughter, Caitlin, was sick, and she's doing better. So that's outstanding. So what we're going to do today is center ourselves around the question. We're going to center all of our interviews around, which is, what's your story, number one? And then number two, what does being a disciple of Jesus mean to you? What does that look like? How does it feel? So what's your story, and what does being a disciple of Jesus mean to you? And so I'm going to start by interviewing Brian, and then Brian's going to interview me. And I think it's kind of fun, because one of the things that Brian does so well is invite people to tell their stories. So Brian, tell us a little tell us a little bit about your story, how you ended up here with us at Bethel, but then also, what does being a disciple of Jesus mean to you? So Brian.
Big questions.
Turn it to you, brother.
Yeah.
While I drink my isogenic shake.
Yum. I'll have water. So, story. Yeah, well, you know, our stories are very meandering and wandering and roller coaster-like. And
kind of like the Hebrews in the wilderness.
Yeah, and for me, God has been present in places that look squeaking clean and beautiful, and God has been present in places where I feel lost and have no idea where God is at, or even if maybe God is angry with me, or if I don't even know what kind of God really is. But my faith story and life story has lots of those things in, and you know, one that continues to shape me, and I always share this, is, you know, when I was in college, I had a significant time of trying to figure out who I was, and trying to figure out what mattered to me, and trying to figure out what mattered to Jesus, and where those all fit together. And I had a huge kind of speed bump, run into a brick wall moment when I got told to leave a campus ministry. This is a group of college students that meet up and try to worship, try to serve God in a university environment. And I was told to leave this campus ministry I was part of. And that was a significantly traumatic and hurtful thing. I had never been hurt in any specific way by anything, any, you know, sports group, any family thing, any church, anything. And to have that traumatic experience happen has just forever shaped my story. So my ears and heart in some way are sensitive, and I hope open to the reality that systems of people, whatever kind and shape, can hurt people. And the worst kind is sometimes when our supposed faith or churches hurt and hurt others or reject them. And so my faith story.
And Brian, I think it's important to say they rejected you because
you
weren't fitting their mold.
Yeah.
Not that you were in any way doing anything outside of the norms of what would be authentic Christianity. You just weren't meeting their very specific and very kind of very much in the box mold.
Yeah. I mean, the specifics were, you know, I was a science major, and parts about me being a science major and loving evolution didn't fit well. And then they had some women who really wanted to lead the ministry, and they weren't allowed to because they were women. And that was a challenge for me. I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. So I guess my life story is continually shaped by that and all the time. And I think about our own witness to Jesus, this Lutheran thing or this Bethel thing. And I that's one of the I guess things I'm always sensitive to, is what are the ways we keep people out from being part of God's dreams, God's kingdom that happens?
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah. And so...
Even unintentionally.
Unintentionally, absolutely. All the time. So yeah, I guess my faith story comes from having wonderful parents, wonderful brother, a great, great family system, and we lived in some very different places, a very rural setting in Illinois with, you know, farming and animals and 4-H, and then going to California and being in a very different setting in San Luis Obispo. And so my story,
is that on the beach?
It's very close. You're like eight minutes away.
You're 8 minutes away from the beach.
Yeah, it's really
so you go
beautiful.
From the middle of Midwest,
yep.
farm country, to Surfer Boy.
Mm-hmm, yep. To yeah, and you're right there, and you're in Slow Town, San Luis Obispo, they call it. And then from there,
and where was it that you got your great skills in basketball?
Well, I was tutored by Michael Jordan. You know, when I lived in rural
Illinois.
When
you lived in rural Illinois.
Yeah, right.
It's very hard for me to admit that you're better at me at basketball. It's very hard for me to admit that, Brian. But
well,
I admit that.
I got height. That's it. If you were 6'3", you'd be beating me too.
I don't know about that.
So
maybe now that I've lost a little bit of weight, I might be able
go.
To compete against.
Suddenly,
you'd
be dunking. He'll be out there slam dunking all day long.
Not,
yeah. So yeah. I mean.
So where did you get your great skills?
You know, I played a lot. Actually, we had a little backyard court when I lived in Illinois.
Okay.
And so, you know, you didn't have video games, you had much else going on. We were very rural, far from the bells. So what did you do after school every day?
Hoops.
Came home, you shot hoops.
A boy, a ball, and a hoop.
Yep. I did either that or played baseball with my dad.
That's right.
Or did something with my cows. Not a lot else is going on, really. Heifer calves, baseball, basketball. I mean,
baseball, basketball, and cows.
Yeah, I mean, not much else.
I love it.
Not much. I mean, there's other things. I did entomology, which is insects and stuff, through 4-H. But I mean, really, when I was in elementary school through middle school, that was that was life. There's not much else you could do. I mean, we were very rural out there in the country, beautiful area, but just not much else. So those are some significant things of play and of fun, but. So, you know, later I met my wife at a Lutheran College student gathering, and her story has intermingled.
The awesome Amy Jasper.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Amazing Amy.
And so for over 16 years now, you know, her story and her faith story I've learned from. And so I guess, when you know, for me, really, the what's our story and what does it mean to follow Jesus is the same question.
Synonymous.
And so I've learned to follow Jesus really from other people.
Yeah.
I've learned that you imitate people's lives and the parts of them that look like Jesus. And my goal in being a disciple and knowing that he's a disciple is to have a life that people might be able to imitate, something that's in me that looks like Jesus. And that can happen in any setting, any space, but I've learned a lot of, you know, Amy's very loyal, for example. Very, very loyal to people. Mm-hmm. And she'll do things on behalf and for people because she's so loyal to them that they're so important, they matter so much. And so she'll give time and energy and effort to extremes, so as much as she possibly can. And so, you know, her story of and her life, the things that I've learned to imitate from her is that profound sense of loyalty, you know, and his is very devout loyalty to Jesus as well and to God's work. And it comes out certainly quietly in certain ways through her. But so for me, you know, being a disciple in all these spaces has come from all the people who I've just happened to rub shoulders with. You know, certain people in college who picked me up off the ground after I was kicked out of a campus ministry, who to this day are lifelong friends, and to their loyalty to say to me, hey, you're beloved, you matter to God and Jesus, and that's the end of the story. That's it. Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
And so, yeah, that's kind of, you know, so there's lots more. I mean, you know, and moving to Ohio and starting seminary there, and I mean, a whole different experience in seminary and life in Ohio than I had in California. You know, getting married and starting to have kids. And really kind of stumbling into being a youth director. This wasn't necessarily anything I kind of like had a big plan for life when I was like 10, you know, or even 20. And so, you know, kind of just falling into that because there came to be a point where I discovered that, you know, some of my deepest longings and stirrings just somehow collided with a real hunger in the world and a real need.
Which is what God wants us to be about, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, I like to think sometimes that happens, and I don't always fulfill that hope and dream and call it all, but that seems to be continually why things have happened or why I've wanted to be part of something or why I've been drawn to something. And that, of course, you know, a couple of years ago now was why I got connected with Bethel, was there was a hunger and a need that did exist and definitely still exists in Bethel to create authentic and to form authentic faith in kids and youth and families. And that's exciting to me and a joy and a gift, as well as a profound challenge and call. I mean, it's not easy. There's no clear, easy answers. But that for me...
Are you meaning to say that following Jesus and the cross is not easy?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, not at all.
What?
Not remotely. And not shiny and doesn't get you awards or whatever. You don't do this for any of that, I don't think.
I think you're right. I think Jesus said something along those lines, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. So that's kind of, you know, for me, to be a disciple means to live a life that looks, hopefully, in some ways, if Jesus is living and ruling my life. And I just hope that there's something within me that looks like love, that looks like grace, that looks like the story that Jesus loves in the world. So that's me. So
well, now, Brian, let me tell you, there is.
Well,
I am. I witness it every day.
That's kind.
And
that's kind.
I'm thankful for what you bring, because you have not only been met by people who have helped you be a better disciple, but you are helping others be a better disciple, including this guy.
Yeah.
Right here. So I thank
that's
you
kind.
For that, brother.
That's kind. Well, now it's your turn, though.
My turn.
Yeah, tell a bit of your story.
My story really is similar in that we grew up in families that loved the faith and taught me the faith. My dad's a Lutheran pastor, grew up in the church. Was really impacted, though, in college, like you, by a different kind of experience. I wasn't necessarily kicked out of a ministry, but I was really invited to consider faith deeply by my chaplain in college, a guy named by the name of Don Just. And Don was old school in a good way. I'll never forget, you know, when I was kind of getting real involved in campus life and a lot of different things, he brought me into his office and he said, I just have one question for you. Who is your God? Those fraternity letters on your chest are our Lord Jesus. And that was it. And I didn't like that, didn't appreciate it, walked away from him, fairly frustrated and angry, and didn't talk to him for a couple weeks, and then came back. Said, all right, good question. Let's talk about this. Now that you made me angry, it gave me time. But, you know, he called me to account, and I appreciated that. And because he had invited me to consider ministry. He had brought me into a place of thinking about the spiritual life, not from just being a pastor's kid who always went to church and it was a part of my life, but to actually think about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus then in my life, and how does that look for Dave Young. And so I went through different kind of characteristics of that. You know, for a while I became very pietistic, which meant I didn't drink. I was very kind of you know, not that I was a bit much of a big drinker at all, but I just made this decision to be, you know, no drinking and very, very straight-laced, and I'm going to witness to Jesus like that. And you know, that lasted for a semester. Then I came out of it. But, you know, I still, you know, was blessed by having good friends of mine in college who we joked about that. We prayed together and we played together, and that was true. The guys I was at my fraternity parties with in college were the same guys who I was doing spiritual weekends with, a lot of the same guys. And so that became huge in my life, and that led me to consider ministry, and it shaped my decision to enter the ministry. But still following Jesus, and what does that look like? You know, is a continuing growth. And as I shared earlier today when we were talking about doing our pre-podcast planning meeting, you know, it was in college or in seminary that I read a book that I still don't remember the name of the book. I don't even remember who said the words, but what they said was the most important thing in following Jesus, and they were saying it in the context of someone being a pastor, but I think it speaks to all of us in our discipleship. The most important thing is passion. Is a passion, enthusiasm for the gospel, for Jesus. And I remember thinking, what are the things that I'm passionate about at that point in seminary? And, you know, and I was passionate about Jesus in a way, but in a very different way than I am now. Now it's a lot more, it's a lot deeper, it's a lot more mature, it's a lot more disciplined. And so as I seek to follow Jesus here as pastor at Bethel, where I've been for 6 years, previously I was in Cincinnati for 13, and it's seeking to find and living within that passion. As I shared with you, I was trying to think of a verse in the scripture that I had read yesterday, and I went back through all the verses that I'd done yesterday, and I realized that I wasn't thinking actually about a verse of scripture. I was actually thinking about a quote from my sermon on this upcoming Sunday from Winston Churchill, who said, "Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm, passion." And I think there's something to be said for that, and that's maybe a guiding piece for me for discipleship, is that, you know, I'm going to fail as a disciple of Jesus time and time again. I'm going to fail in being faithful. I'm going to fail in loving others the way Jesus would want me to, and forgiving others the way Jesus would want me to. I'm going to fail in loving my neighbor as myself. However, in the midst of that, if I can cling to that enthusiasm of the gospel, which has been given to us, a gift, a passionate love for this Jesus who is risen from the dead, the God on the loose, who is meeting us in our struggles, who doesn't abandon us to our brokenness, who will always call us anew, as he does for Peter in our lesson for this Sunday. Then I think as we do that, that passion for Jesus can allow us to dare to live an imitative life. We can dare to try that, even though we know we're going to fail, like you said. But we can still dare to imitate Jesus because we have been given this incredible grace. And so that to me is, boom, that's the heart of it. And it gives me confidence and hope and promise to live as a disciple, knowing that my journey will shape and look different at different times in my life. But I'm finding that my passion for the gospel has not waned as I get older. In fact, it has gotten more, I am more determined and more clear about the power and the promise and the reality and the truth and the possibilities of the gospel now, after almost 19 years of ministry, ordained ministry, than I was when I was fresh right out of seminary and full of spit and vinegar, as they say. So, you know, I mean, I just, you know, after seeing it at work in the people of God, people like you, Brian, people like people in this congregation who we're going to have as part of this podcast. So being a disciple of Jesus is not for the faint of heart, as you said.
Right.
But it is for the faithful at heart. And I believe that a passion for Jesus, despite all the evidence to the contrary that people will bring up to us, that passion for Jesus has continued to grow. And I'm excited to see where I'm going to be 20 years from now.
Right.
Excited to, you know, God willing, of course. And I look forward to seeing where God leads us. So
Bethelcast listeners, here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
You've heard a little bit of our stories. So if you happen to be a stumbling, bumbling, failing, passionate person about something, we want your story. We want to tell it. We want to hear it. We want to wrestle with it and rejoice in it. So thanks for listening to this offering of Bethelcast.
I love it. It's awesome. I do need to share one quick thing about me and Brian. I don't know if he remembers this, but the first time I met Brian, he was dating Amy, who I already knew. And then, Brian, you came to my house. Well, it was not a house. It was a condominium that I had. And Brian was full of energy, man. And he came in and he saw a book on my shelf. And I can't remember. It was either Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time by Borg, or it was The Real Jesus by Luke Timothy Johnson, I think. I can't remember. It was one of those two books. And I gave you that book. Who could have ever thought?
Right.
That
it was the second book.
Was it The Real Jesus by Luke Timothy Johnson?
It was.
And I remember
that was way back.
Because it was in my little bitty condo.
Yeah, little bookshelf.
I had this big shelf, and Brian took that book.
Wow.
And here we are all these years
later.
So, Brian, I'm glad you're here.
Craziness. Same.
We love you, brother. And we'll send you out with this blessing, which we do at Bethel. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at all the wonders that he will show you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Peace. Amen.